Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
it's like 95 degrees in the house, you know?
Yeah. We're in like a constant game of like, there's like an overcompensation with like the air conditioning, like where it's so cold at some point in the night, but like you adjust it. I don't know. There's no good.
There's no sweet spot. I understand entirely.
There's no sweet spot. That's exactly it. And I'm so used to being able to find one, but like, you know, when
you
it's
might
100
need silk sheets. Sometimes that's the determining factor, because I use silk sheets and it stays chilly. And even after you turn off the AC, you're still left in like a cold blankie for a little bit.
That's not a bad idea.
You can try it at least, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I will.
I mean, anyway.
I mean, I haven't slept on those since I was like... Like,
I mean, I'd be falling right the fuck off. I'd be sliding off the bed like,
yeah, because the pillows slide off too, don't they?
That's like... terrible. But if you put cotton pillowcases, I don't know, it's a whole fucking thing.
We can like start whenever you're ready, by the way.
You're listening to the Screw Podcast with Felicia Rose and A-Love. Thanks for tuning in. This week's special, we're going to be talking about how I slip off with my silk sheets like a baby coming out of a birth canal. How are you doing?
I love that. That's you found that fast.
Like, yeah.
That analogy, like, really fast.
Well, anytime I think of something slipping out, you know,
yeah,
that's almost like the first thing I think of is just like a baby like flying out of the womb, you know, like, yeah, it's just extra
like
ready and large,
like,
and
like those t-shirt like
yeah,
guns,
like
that
a cannon,
shoot the
t-shirt cannon. Yep, exactly. But with a lot of wetness, just like off, you know.
Yeah.
Very alien, you know. So how have you been?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Weird. I don't know. I've been good.
Are you okay over there?
I love it. We're like, we're smoking all this old vapor. We're probably like,
we're smoking plastic. Like, let's,
I have a friend that says like, oh, you know, you're smoking the cartridge at this point, but
yeah,
you know
exactly what I'm smoking.
Fuck
if it's still giving me fucking
like battery. You're smoking battery.
Yeah, we're smoking battery. Fuck yeah. Well, something's gonna get us high, so
right. Oh,
you know, we're too poor to buy weed, so we're smoking battery. Both of us. I like how we're both poor at the same time. We're both like,
I know.
So did you eat today? Nah, I think tomorrow might be the day, though.
Like, tomorrow might be the day.
My roommate accidentally bought wheat pasta, so I'm going to use a little bit of that tonight. Oh. No, I'm kidding. That's a lie. I would never. I'd rather be hungry. Thanks. Just eat cardboard. What the fuck is that? God, ain't no sauce in the world going to cover up wheat pasta. Ugh.
I know. It's such a, like, we're like, it's a weird time where like so many things are so expensive on top of nobody having any money in the world.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Like,
so fun.
Wow.
There's so many things. What I will say, because we could talk about this for 8 years, but my funniest, maybe let's just say like our funniest thing that we've noticed. The funniest thing that I've noticed is there's so many advertisements now for states. Advertisements everywhere, like, come to Connecticut, please give us your fucking travel dollars, because nobody's visiting anymore because nobody can go on vacation. You know, it's like there's so many states being advertised on TV in commercials, and then I'm literally seeing billboards of them down the highway. What an interesting,
fascinating
idea that we're that much into a recession that states are literally begging for people to travel to them at this point because there's like no income happening. It's so interesting.
The trend that I'm noticing is countries that are like offering like fast track work
Yes.
visas for people from the United
Ireland,
States.
Italy.
Like, if you want to get the
Yeah.
hell out of that fucking burning
Yeah. They're like, we will
shithole
give you a piece of land for free. You
y'all are
just
living
need to come
in.
over and become a citizen. And we're going to waive the fact that we
Yeah.
need you to be bilingual. We don't care anymore. Just come over.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Okay.
Well, you know what's interesting is like it's certainly happening in a lot of places that are like having like declining birth rates and like aging populations, right? So like old Europe, Portugal, Spain, you know, a lot of these places are having like a crisis of like we need young, healthy people here for multiple
I think they'll take
reasons.
anybody, actually, at this point. They're just
Well,
like,
that's
please
true.
just come and like buy our land and spend your dollars here because
Yeah,
nobody else
no,
is doing it.
for
And,
sure.
you
For
know, it makes
sure.
sense. There's so many better places to live than a lot
It's
of the
true.
places that are being advertised. But also, there's so many better places to live than where we are. So it's one of those things where it's like, this is getting more tempting by the day, you know?
Oh, no kidding. I mean, and that's the thing, right? Like on some level, like, you know, the United States is having like some epic crises with so many things, but like it's also a perfect opportunity for like migration to other states and like seeking like cheaper and more like, you know, either safer or whatever your situation is. Like,
I think
it's a
it's
good.
really cute that at least once a podcast, you try to subtly convince me to move to New Mexico.
Of
I
course,
really love
I love that you knew exactly where I was
that. You're like, there's other
going.
opportunities for
We could
immigrants
start an empire here. Shit,
Listen,
Betty,
I
you
am very
saw right through
close.
me.
I mean, part of me, you know, it's a love hate thing. When I'm out and about and I'm enjoying like New York as a New Yorker,
Of
not as like
course.
a tourist. Even the tourist stuff is sometimes fun, but like when I'm really enjoying being a New Yorker, you know, utilizing the things that make New York special, I'm like,
100%.
how could I live anywhere else? And then all
No,
the
I
in
agree.
between times, I'm like, how do I live here? You know, it's
No,
so
I agree.
interesting.
That's why ideally, like, once I'm done out here, it's also like we need a place in New York. Like, I will never not be connected to New York. I know that
Yeah.
sounded super pretentious. The hope is that I'll be able to afford two places. But like the reality is like I'm never gonna own property in New York City, like unless I become like super wealthy. And it's very easy to own property here on some
Right,
level,
right. No,
you
for
know,
sure.
if you know, and there's a lot of like things in this state to help you purchase property, you know,
Right,
there's
because New Mexico is dying for it's almost like
Yeah,
a
it
the
also
country
wants
is being
people.
like,
Yeah.
please move
Yeah.
to us. Yeah.
Exactly. And I in many ways I think it's great. I see like a lot of opportunity in places like that. Not just, you know, New Mexico, but like there are plenty of places where, you know, opportunities that aren't afforded in the big cities. And I get it. It's like a give and take. But, you know, like I miss like having like the ability to find like specs like around every block. No doubt. That's a New York miss. I'm not gonna lie. You know,
Oh, for sure.
that ability to see somebody on like the subway and like know that you could possibly be sucking their dick in the next 30 minutes, like if they give you the right like nod. You know what I'm saying? Like
Yeah.
New York has a lot of great like things to it, but I do love like New York sexuality. I'm gonna start giving cities like a sexuality profile. I like New York sexuality.
Yeah, I think New York has the ability to like you can make any day sexy in New
Right.
York. Like
Yeah.
I was walking home from a bar one time in New York from it was like a Halloween thing and I was like, I didn't pick up anybody. And then like there was a kid on the corner that heard me and it was like, "Oh, you didn't?" And I was like, "Yeah, what's up?" And he was like, "Nothing, what's up with you?" I was like, "My apartment's right there." And I pointed up to my apartment. I was like, "You want to come back with me?" And he did. And like, you don't
Beautiful.
get those opportunities in New
Yeah.
York, you know? I mean, in other
Outside of,
places.
yeah,
Some
you
of them,
don't.
yeah, but like there
But
is an
not even
energy
like,
here.
sure, you do. And like, I'll tell you, like, San Francisco is one of the sluttiest cities I've ever
See, I've
visited for
never
many
been, so I
reasons.
have no idea,
Yeah.
yeah.
But like LA, I know there's a bunch of sluts there too. And I'm saying this all in like,
I feel like you have to be so pretty in LA though. Ugh.
You do. And because people don't rely on public transportation, like in the same way as like New York. There's, and like San Francisco is a very walkable city, right? Well, minus the hills. But I mean, like people are out walking. So like you see it. LA to me is not a walkable city. It's a car city. It's a place that you go from one destination to the next in your car. And like maybe you go to some like West Hollywood pretentious whatever. But you're right. You have to look a certain way. Everybody there, whether they're like fucking 30 or 50, has had something injected into something.
Right.
And
right.
It's not, and it's obvious. I always want to tell these LA dudes, at least, like, you look like a plastic doll and you're not even 35. It's ridiculous.
Everybody has the same face.
Leave your fucking body alone.
Yeah. Whereas in New York, nobody has, like, I feel like a lot of times I'll get like tons of like Botox advertisements because those places don't do well here because people we're just trying to survive the subway. We're not trying to fucking worry about our wrinkles. Calm down, you know.
Exactly.
Also, like, I'm not gonna lie, being a woman out here, sometimes it's better off to be a little bit more haggard and rough around the edges because in a way, like, it wards people from off from bothering you, bothering you know, you. Like, in a way it's almost like you harden yourself so that the city ignores you more, you know. It's true. And like, and I'm not saying even for people that haven't had that many, it's like there's so many people, and I'm not saying that you're always going to get hit on here or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, there's so many people, so you up your chances of interaction, whether it's a guy hitting on you, getting catcalled, or, you know, on your way to work, whatever it is. So at the end of the day, like, you're going to have more of those experiences typically. And the you know, the more like rough you look, the better off you are. People aren't trying to fuck with somebody that looks a little like, I mean, maybe they are, right? But more often than not, they're if they're catcalling you and stuff, it's not because you look tired and you know, sullen. Like, it's, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, no.
And catcalling the chick that moved here 3 months ago from Ohio that still has stars in her eyes and hope in her soul, you know? The rest of us, they're leaving alone because they know that we're downtrodden, we're all set. Please don't fuck with us. I will spray you.
It's actually a great point, and I still talk about it, especially, like, when you live in cities or rough cities. When I used to, like, when I was younger and lived in downtown Springfield, everybody used to say, hey, just like go out looking like a little haggard, wear a tank top, don't look like you have money, you know. Like, there's certain times even in Albuquerque where I'm like, I'm going to wear jogging pants and look like I have not a dime in my pocket.
Yeah,
because
better off that way.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, like,
yeah, so look, that's why New Yorkers don't have that Botox look, because we're like, no, we're all set, no, you know. Yeah. Maybe Manhattanites do and I don't notice it, but like, I don't spend a lot of time in Manhattan, so who the fuck knows? Yeah.
What is there to do in Manhattan these days, really? No, I mean, I'm sure
that
something
money that nobody has, that's the answer.
Exactly. The restaurants are more expensive, the activities are more expensive. I mean, to me, I always saw Manhattan as like a wonderful kind of place to change trains to go to a different part of the city.
I got over my weirdness about the bus, and now I just take the buses everywhere, and like,
I cannot be bothered
to take the fucking train into the city to take it to another borough, like get out of town.
No, I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. you know what a bus bitch I am.
While I was basically living in Staten Island, I got over that because, like, at one point there was like a car thing. I couldn't use the person's car, so I had to use. I don't remember what the bus thing was, but it just made more sense to use the buses, and I got over my like weirdness about the buses because of that. So now I take buses everywhere, like daily.
I fucking hate the subway. I have to go underground. Ew, gross.
No, I totally hear you. I totally hear you. And like, you know, I'm back to a city that like bus is the only choice. Although I will say, like, New York, I kind of always felt like I absolutely knew what to expect depending upon the bus line, you know. And I rode a lot of different bus lines in New York over the years for commuting to work or whatever. Here in Albuquerque, like, I never know what to expect when those fucking doors open.
Really? It's like that crazy? Yeah.
I mean, oh God, yeah. So the the public transportation here is free. So it's sometimes like the during the day shelter for homeless who want some like air conditioning.
Of course, you know. Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, you know, it's also like becomes laden with a lot of people with mental health issues, sure. And like it can be like anxiety provoking, you know.
Especially because buses, like, you can't like move to another train, like, right. You basically have to get off and wait for another bus if yeah. And then you have to pay again, and yeah, you're kind of stuck if there's somebody that is yeah. giving you guff, if you will, guff.
So I mean, the one thing that I like about it is like, you know, obviously it doesn't have the same kind of amazing coverage of like New York City or whatever does, but
sure.
For the most part, if you need to get somewhere, you can take the bus. You know, it just has to be, what is your patience level sure. for it taking an hour and 45 minutes to go 8 miles? You know, oof. Like, hey,
yeah.
Truth, you know, like, anyway,
I got
but,
you.
The buses like so aren't sexy in that way that I've never gone on the bus and like seen some like what I consider sexy person across from me like slightly grouping themselves like giving me the eyes and like not in a creepy way. I'm talking in that way that like people who are both cruising each other understand that they're cruising each other. Yeah, yeah, you know. Oh my God, I was recently reading this thing. I think it's like about 1970s lesbian cruising culture in the UK.
Ooh,
fascinating. I have to find it and send it to you because there's always this discussion, oh, that's what gay dudes do, they cruise, women don't cruise. And like,
well, I'd argue that now women have spaces to go where they don't have to really cruise sure. the same way.
Fair but so do queer men. And
yeah, but men walk around with their dick in their head all day long. Like, blow me. Like, we can split hairs all day, but testosterone specifically. Yeah, so maybe fine. Not every man, so don't come at me with any mean. But if you have testosterone in your body, you may as well implant your penis into your brain. You know what I mean? So, like, there's not really, you know, I feel like estrogen laden humans can go home and like wait to go to their knitting needle class or whatever the fuck lesbians meet each other at, you know. I'm kidding, obviously there are hornier people and stuff like that, but no, go on.
I think it's also like a safety and social construct thing too, right? At some point, you know, in our culture, women hanging out in dark parks after a certain hour of night probably like was no longer a safe like idea or safe.
Well, the 70s are when serial killers became noticed and
Summer
known.
Sam, all that shit.
Ted Bundy, all that stuff. So it makes sense for there to be a downturn in that kind of behavior. 100%. Well, for different reasons. One, you have spaces you can go safely meet other lesbians at. There's this uptick in that. You don't really have to cruise to get to know who's gay and who's not. You can just go to Pottery Barn or wherever. Where do lesbians hang out? I don't know.
You did not say Pottery Barn.
Okay, because if we had a lesbian on the show right now, they'd be like, well, where do bisexuals hang out? At the fucking punk rock show? And I'd be like, yeah, exactly. That's where we go. This. Thanks. So.
Oh my gosh.
Pottery Barn it is.
I love stereotypes. Like,
no, if I knew where they hung out, I'd have more in my life, you know?
Well, and that's the
I feel
thing.
Like every time I think I befriend a lesbian, they're like, no, I'm pan or I'm queer or I'm bi. And I'm like, where are lesbians? I guess I don't go to the lesbian store.
I mean, you know what's so interesting about that? Like, on one hand, you have, like, our current political leaders telling us there's only LNG these days. LNG, all the other levels. Like, there's only normal. There's only normal homosexuals now.
Right.
And erasing, bi erasure, trans erasure, all these things happening. And on the other hand, you have the reality of people. I just saw this study that like something like, I think it was like 56% of like queer identifying people like identified as bisexual.
Yeah. No, I
know. It's like they're the largest category. Then like, what is all this conversation we're having? You know, and like, of course, we like fall back on the idea of like it being a construct. Spent a lot of time like today talking to my therapist just about this like construct problem. And because like people have a hard time like sitting in that space of like gray area and gray space, which we've talked about plenty of times on here, but it makes it hard. It becomes another like weird dividing line in the community where like, you know, the binary, which has always been a problem, is still a problem, but it's a problem in new and unusual ways now. Like, I just, you know, it's like we can't get past, like, you know, I'm like firmly in the space of my life that like you are allowed to define yourself, your labels like mean what they mean for you, and that's it.
Everybody so I else am is firmly in a space where I just believe that everybody is one fantasy away from unlocking their queerness. Truly. Yeah. True. Because there's, I don't know how many men I've spoken to that have, men that identify as straight and cis, that yep. have basically said, well, there's an exception. You know, fucking the guy that plays Thor or the guy that, you know, like, there. Oh, no, I would suck him off. There's an exception. Yeah. There's always a guy. So I'm always like, you're one fantasy. Everybody's one fantasy away from tiptoeing into the middle of something. You know,
you are hearing,
I just don't know anybody that truly has ever proven 100% pure straightness or gayness or any of that. Like, I know this without is polarizing ideology, and I know that I'm going to get a lot of hate for it, but I don't give a fuck. I don't think anybody is one. I think that they're in the right space, time, setting, mood, energy, person, fantasy.
If sexuality is a construct, it applies to fucking heterosexual identifying people too.
Sure do.
It's not just queer that's the construct. Sexuality being the construct.
Sure do.
Like, that's it, you know? And like, I met very intelligent people who like know this like intellectually, but will not apply it in real time. Be like, well, no, I mean, I'm straight. Okay, then you don't believe it's a construct. Don't tell me with your fucking word hole, mouth hole, that you like understand the concept and you believe it, and then tell me, but I'm just straight. Yeah. Those are two opposing
ideas.
But
also, like, how many lesbians have you gone down on?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Sure.
But so,
we're
but
all
again,
one fantasy away, and I'm not saying that makes your sexuality. 100%. But like, I'm talking about the acts. Fuck off. Everybody's
literally,
one fantasy
literally
away
the opposite.
From doing it.
There was somebody who was catching heat. A black gentleman. I don't remember exactly his name. I think he's semi-famous. He was kind of calling out online and saying that he doesn't know anybody in his friend circle essentially that hadn't experimented or hadn't like been curious or hadn't like indulged the idea of it. And like, you know, some people are going to say, oh, that's so brave to say, but like mostly again, it becomes a conversation of, it's not about bravery. What do you believe sexuality is? If you believe it's a construct, then motherfucker, it's a construct. And that's not invalidating anybody's labels. What I mean by that is saying, if you say lesbian and that means sometimes you suck dick, that's your definition.
I agree. Thank you.
You
I
know,
agree.
That's it. It just kind of levels the idea that the labels, I'm not saying they're meaningless. I'm just saying you're allowed to define it. If you're more comfortable using that.
Your label does not have to define the actions under your label, because once again, they're all just actions. Like,
and it sure as fuck doesn't have to define
a man can have the most beautiful feminine energy and it defies your normal take of men, and therefore he's an exception. You know, whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, you're right. Exactly. Labels do not have to match actions. And to me, the actions, everybody's one fantasy away from the action of doing something they never thought they would. I'm not kidding. I now stand by that. And it doesn't, it has nothing to do with your label. But 100%. It absolutely, like, I have watched people be like, oh, I thought I was this. Like, I thought, And then I did that and I realized I was this, or I realized I just like doing this and I don't want to identify. I'm like, I don't give a fuck what you identify as a strawberry. I don't care.
I'm going to respect the same.
It doesn't matter to me. 100%. Well, if you identify as a strawberry, I might laugh, but like, you know, I'll still respect you. I'll just laugh
at
you. It's
worth a giggle. The problem is, or not the problem, that there is no is, right? And I think that's the thing, you know, people like struggle with, because it's again the gray area, and like, you know, you have these conversations and like these human psychology like things about like, oh, you know, it's a cognitive limitation that people can't like be okay with there being no category. And I just think it's actually cognitive laziness. It's not a limitation. I know there's no thing indicating that naturally occurring we need to group things and put them in a fucking category. For learning certain things, yes, but like this isn't a learning thing. You know, when you learn math and numbers and processes, then that's something, right? You group things to have like a step-by-step understanding of something so you actually can retain it.
Yeah, when we get too worried about labels, it starts to remind me of eugenics and things like that. It's giving why do we need this label?
Exactly.
And then in other times, it's like, well, labels are important. So for example, you know, labels that help you with, you know, things, I don't know what I'm trying to say for an example, but like sometimes this is, these things are important, hot, but sometimes they so are I don't absolutely
burn my... Right. You label something hot because it burns, you need to know that it's hot because you need to associate it with burning you. Something cool, you need to put on a jacket. Right. I think, unfortunately, we've gotten into a space like somebody has come up with a label for themselves and they understand themselves as such. And then they make this like insane leap that that's got to apply to other people or should apply to other people. Okay. It doesn't. It only applies to you, baby. Whoever you are, whatever label you've chosen, however you've chosen to see yourself and your actions and identity within that label, it only fucking applies to you. And like nothing has taught me that more than actually like understanding more like trans movement stuff, because you talk to so many different people within trans movements and they all have a very, not they all have a very, but many have different perspectives of what their transness looks like.
Sure.
And what it feels like for them. And
what certain things mean to them and which parts of the process are necessary versus unnecessary, which, you know what I mean? Again, this is all personal and it's all broken down to each person. And we're all queer.
I mean, I'm really just trying to get to the point. Do you like to suck dick? I just want to get more abstract things, or not less abstract things. Like, you can be who you are. What turns you on? And I think it's an important thing. And I know we have a long way to go before like gender becomes less relevant in that conversation. But you know, it's not like impossible for somebody to understand, you know, like you always hear these like nasty jokes about like two bottoms together. If they can't fuck each other, how are they possibly going to be together? Like, I'm just going to apply this to like every gender construct, like idea that you come up with, like, because it's not about that. Right. It's about so many more things, like our interactions with people and our sexuality and our romance with people, you know, and fuck that, you know, like thinking the other day, like how important it was for me to reach like a poly identity at some point in my life, because for me, I do have like this very holistic poly view where like my friends are part of my relationship spectrum, right? That
you are just one big lesbian continuum, like, let's be for real.
Amen. Can I get a well, you know, and it's like, because, you know, I was saying this earlier to somebody, like, you will start a relationship with somebody and whether you realize it or not, like, your time spent interacting with like friends or whatever, like can often like take a hit or an expectation of a hit. And to me, that's not being really good at being polyamorous, because your love scarcity shouldn't occur. And like, why does somebody new get to take the place of somebody old? You know, it's like something you're trying to, there's no need to take place of, is I guess my point. There's only like additions, and if somebody's negative in your life, subtractions. But it is kind of about like keeping yourself together with like a kind of family of sorts of your creation, where like your caring for them doesn't cause jealousy, and you're like, you know, whatever, you know, we talk about it a lot, but I'm just really trying, because there's a lot of people like poly is like trending again, and people are like, I have 5 partners, I have 6 partners. It's not a fucking numbers game. This is so stupid. If you're unable to have like meaningful connections with all those partners, they're not your fucking partners.
No,
they're just people you fuck and probably don't pay enough attention to.
It's like when people are like, oh, they're my best friend, and I'm like, and...
Yeah, exactly.
When do you like, do you like, I won't say when do you see or talk to them, because like you could have a very deep friendship and not talk often, but it's more like, okay, and how many other people are you calling your best friend? Oh, they're my best friend. It's like, okay, you just named 18 people as your best friend. You have a bridal party of 22 people. Maybe these people are acquaintances and not actually your best friends.
And like, my thing,
if you call any of them to bail you out of jail, who's going to answer? That's your best friend, baby. Sorry.
I always say, I see it as like, you're either in my life, meaning you know what's going on with me and I know what's going on with you, or you're not in my life, you know? And that can apply to any definition of relationship. Like, my parents are not in my life, because you could ask them on any given day what I'm doing and they have no fucking idea.
Sure.
Where like my friends and lovers know what I'm doing. They do. Mm-hmm. Like, period, you know, and they're in my life, you know. I mean, and friends come in and out of your lives over time, but like, you know, that's kind of why that poly dimension to relationships, I think, is important. Like, you have to like make an effort to care about people. And if you don't, it's not really a relationship.
You know. All right, I'll call my friends.
Jeez, I know. Papa Aaron is lecturing me. God damn it.
Well, I'll say this. Like, most of my friends that have remained good friends, not most, all of my friends that have remained with me for the like last 1 to 2 decades have been friends that are very comfortable in time apart, whether physical, you know, whether we haven't spoken, whatever. And every time I see them, it's like I saw them yesterday. Like, it's, we pick up right where we left off. And I don't know if it's maybe I attract the same type of energy in return, and like those people are cool with it too, or if they just like alter their expectations and then that works for them with me. I'm not sure. I think most of them are more like me, and like one of them just is like, you know, understands that I, because of what I do for a living, talking all day to other people isn't going to be on my plate. It's just not. Customer service is tough, you know?
Right.
Especially in this aspect where I'm home dealing like with people all day. And I'm just not a big, like, what do I have to say on a regular basis? Like, what are we updating each other? Give me big updates. Check in with me for major life stuff. Totally. If I see, I'm watching you online, so I'm seeing what you're up to, and I will respond to your stories. Be like, that looks fun. Hope you have fun. Can I see you soon? Blah, blah, blah. But, like, when it comes to, like, I don't need to know the minutiae of your life. And I think my friends are on the same with me. They entertain their friends that want to know the minutia, but I think like with me, they're like, oh good, I don't have to like update you daily, and like my baby burped on me, and my, you know, like
I think that's where like you kind of like you create your friend circles based on like like-mindedness, right? Like I don't text a million people a day or any of these things, but like when I talk to them and when I check in with them, like we understand where we're at with each other, you know? Right. And like, cause I wish at this day and age, I could like spend all day making like phone calls to old friends and talking to them.
Yeah,
like
of course, that'd be
like
fun.
We used to back in the day. Yeah. You know?
And but when I'm in the mood for that, I'll do like one phone call.
Yeah.
But if you can't understand that, I don't have the space for all of that. And exactly. Who does? Like we're all working our asses off right now. It's just, I don't know. But at the same time, you know, I do like my random little text from my needy little friend Aaron that's like, I miss you, thinking of you. And I'm sitting there like taking a dick to the butt or whatever, like on cam. And I'm like,
that's what I actually imagine when I send you those messages. Like, bitch, you know I don't need like coddling like that. I will send what I send.
Once in a while, you need a little snuggle.
Everybody does, baby. Everybody does. Yeah. Everybody needs a little.
I'm a cold-hearted fucking bitch.
Bullshit.
I don't need a snuggle.
Bullshit.
I hate being touched. I finally had to. Did I say this on the podcast? Right? I finally had to like tell certain family members, like, I don't like to be touched. Please stop trying to snuggle me and hug me and kiss me on the lips and ew. It's my mom. Yeah. like, but like, you know, and like, I'm a little bit more physically affectionate with my sister because we grew up that way. But my mom and I didn't grow up all snuggly. I don't know. I don't remember that. And if that was how I was when I was little, I don't remember it beyond like my memory time frame. So it's like, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
She like pinches my butt. I'm like, ew. So I finally like, I've set boundaries. Yeah. I was like, woman. I understand that my body physically crawled out of yours, but it doesn't give you lifetime permission to touch me.
It's
without
autonomous.
Consent,
it's autonomous the moment you fucking cut that cord.
Exactly. Or, but yeah, so I'm a big fan of like meet your friends where they're at, but also like, you know, it's okay to be, you know, oh, I miss you and a little needy here and there, because that's also shows that like you miss the person on a deeper level, which is nice. Right. You know,
and I think that like especially with the friends that I'm close to, it's my way of saying, it's my way of also acknowledging that like I haven't been messaging anything of substance in a while, but I'm busy and I understand that you're busy, you know.
Exactly.
Like
I
think it's like the easiest way, like, you know, I'll never ask like how are you if I'm not ready to like respond
it.
To it.
Same.
Yeah,
which is why I never ask anybody else. Because I don't have time to start a whole call.
No, for sure. Right. But like, you know, you do, you do on occasion. You be nicer to yourself.
I used
you
to
do.
A lot more when I was on Adderall, I will say. Adderall is like a conversation starter.
You can,
like,
you
I just want to talk. So I'm like, who wants to text? Now? Exactly. So that's probably, people probably get confused because I would go from like yapping to like burn out really quick. And now I feel like I'm just myself, you know, like
perfect way to be. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's it. And you know, we're all navigating, you know, especially those of us who like remember a world of different kinds and different levels of communication. Like this, you know, you do on one level feel, I don't want to say you feel more connected to everybody, but you feel more accessible to everybody and everybody feels more accessible to you. It doesn't necessarily mean connection, but like, you know, when you used to have to wait till somebody got home to listen to their answering machine and decide whether they were going to call you back or not, it was a whole different fucking ball game.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like now
right.
everybody's using that.
You had
thing
to like
that
sit down to make time. And that's the other thing. So on the other end, there's those people who like expect responses. And I'm like,
no,
that's really cute. And guess what? That's why I have red receipts on, and you're not going to get fucking red until I have time. Like so once in a while I'll accidentally open a message and then it diverts my day because I have to now sit down, take in what was said and then respond to it. And obviously if it's just like a, hey, it's like, but I don't know anybody that texts me directly. Hey, you know what I mean? Like they know better to get to the point. You know, even if the point is just, I miss you, like, give me something to work with, you know, but like, I'll open a message and I'm like, fuck, like, I'm not a dickhead and I don't want you to see the red response and then not like, and then think I'm a fucking asshole and like,
no,
ignoring
fuck
you.
I could be like about to wipe my asshole. Okay. Like literally, like if I read your message and I don't respond to you, I could be like, entering a building. You know, like I could be walking and trying to pay attention that I don't get hit by a fucking car.
Sure, sure.
Like,
but you know, but I also have it's my own people pleasing thing.
No.
So totally what I do it. Is totally I you know I like to keep people like temper their expectations with, you're going to be responded to as soon as I open that, right? Okay. Yeah. Great. Now I can't accidentally open anything until I have time.
Yeah. See, I set the expectation.
It's
that
my own self that does that. Like, no, I know nobody totally on the other end is waiting and reading for my red wrist, but, you know, they're not like checking.
That's not fucking true. I can tell, like, from my mother example, I don't know who taught her how to do the red receipts thing, but, like, now she has it on. And oh, so, God. Like, she'll send something at, like, 3:45 in the morning and, like, maybe I get up to pee and I look at it and then I'm not answering it because I'm not waking up on that level, right? I read your message. I'm going to go back to sleep. I'm not responding to you at 3:45 in the morning, but I can tell she feels like a way about it, you know, like you can like, and I'm like, I hate these things. Like, and there's not many people I know who feel a way about it, but I have like heard, well, I saw that you read my text. And it's like, because like
if somebody ever said that to me, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Not only do you lose the privilege, I'm gonna turn off that red receipt for you specifically.
I have it off on WhatsApp. Like all you can tell on WhatsApp is if your message actually went through. You can't tell if I've read it because there's like that little like nuance of change in those things. Cause like what are we like surveilling each other now? Like, oh, he read it. Like,
yeah, like, are we in a fight and you're my partner? Because that's, like, right. The only person that I expect to be, like, why didn't you get back to me? Because you're the person I communicate with all day. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't... Right. That is one thing. And even still, totally. I feel like any reasonable partner would expect time and stuff. You know, like, oh, they're busy. Yeah. You know, on the other end, they would be like, well, he would respond if he could, right? It's just... Yeah. I don't know. It's like people have this expectation of others that is... insane. Like I have a picture of me from the other day that my co-star took, Greek Greg. He took a picture of him inside of me because he was filming us fucking while I was editing a video in one hand and I was writing the description to the video in the other hand. That's how much I was multitasking in this moment.
So you had a dick in you and that was being filmed, but simultaneously
I was editing a video and then I was writing like, and that
this
was my
multitasking. This is some fucking ADD generation shit right
there. Okay. Okay. But like, that's why she ain't texting you back, bro. She busy. Like, that's all I can like think of in my head is just like, there's a reason here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and for me, I know what your like lifestyle is right now. So like, I'm always imagine like, cause it's one thing. It's like the only time I'm really truly 100% unavailable, honestly, is when I'm recording this podcast or if I'm in like a conference call. Right.
Sure.
For the most part, like I can be available, you know, like, but those are like hard no's when you're like in a position where you need to talk and you need to pay attention and you need to like, you know, be filming something or whatever. It's like, and I don't think everybody actually relates to that experience. So I think people sometimes have a hard understand when I'm like, I have like 5 conference calls today. I don't know. You'll get people, you can't just talk for 15 minutes real quick.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, no, because when you have that many things, like you have to prepare for some of these things. You're like, you're trying to like, you know, and you have to catch your breath. So like, I try to be real. It's like during this block of time, nothing. It's this or this.
Well, and because like, God forbid you need to like pee in between. You need to eat a sandwich. Like Jesus Christ,
that
the expectation.
Or suck at it. You know, like shit happens. Exactly. You know? Like, I like to be a spontaneous lover too. So like, you know, I'm okay with people imagining that if I didn't get back to you, I'm like doing the nasty right now. You know, that's what's up.
Well, in between my work, I don't do the nasty because my work is the nasty, but actually that's not true. The other day I stopped I ended my live and then got fucked. So.
Oh, fun. Yeah, you got to do that every once in a while. You got to keep it.
Not, I don't want everybody to view every single thing, you know?
No, because then you don't, like, it's a balance. It's a balance. Yeah. And I know we've talked about it before, but, like, actually, the next time we talk, I actually want to talk more about that balance because, you know, there's a lot of things I've been seeing a lot of, like, now that, like, OF and all these things have been around for so long, you're starting to see more people, like, have realer conversations about it on podcasts, like how it affects like their personal relationships, like just like all these balances. And like, you know, just in a, I don't have any theories about it. I'm just actually curious because I do think it's like a social phenomenon, not like as a culture we haven't really like addressed before. And I'm seeing more and more people address, like we're getting past that, like, not completely, but like that OnlyFans shaming situation. Sure. And we're getting more into there's so many people doing it and not being ashamed about doing now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, but that means that there's a, like a cultural shift and a cultural reality that is very different, you know? And
there's also a lot of people getting into it that have no business. Like they can't, they can't handle it. They won't be able to. And I'm not saying you necessarily know going in, obviously sometimes you have to just try it out, but that's another aspect to it, but is a lot of people walking away.
It's infusing a lot of dating culture. You know, I definitely see profiles that are like, want to hook up, and if you're down, film. And it's kind of like, and they don't mean it the way they used to mean it. Like, it's a naughty little fetish. Let's film for yourself. Each other, like, fucking. Yeah,
they mean I'm going to make money off of you.
You're going to see it on my Twitter, you know, like the preview. Right. So, let's have that conversation because, like, I'm actually. You know me, I'm not like, people would be like, oh, these things are fucking up sexuality and fucking up these things. I think we have to evolve and adapt, and there are things that we have to understand, and human beings are like, have a lot of capacity for a lot of different things. So like, I'm curious to bang that out. So I miss you so much.
Of course you do. I miss you too.
Get ready to move to New Mexico. You couldn't see our faces, but we were all like demure and shit just now. Like, it was a sweet moment.
This podcast is gay.
Can we just name our podcast as Podcast is Gay?
I feel like
we'd get more listeners.
Hey, we're not doing too bad. We're not doing too shabby. I know we never believe it, but then like I look and like looks like people are listening to us. We had like a lot of Lisbon, Portugal listeners for some reason.
Sweet.
I don't know what about which one of our like metadata keyword tags brings in certain countries. If it's like the slut or like sex pot. I mean, like I hashtag that shit with all sorts of weird shit. So never know.
Just put on a current events. Hashtag it with current events. Pretend like we're talking about, I don't know, something that's current, but not like terrible.
Oh, this is a great idea. Yeah, we should get into that strategy at some point when we're allowed to.
Just make us clickbaity as fuck, you know?
Oh, I like it.
They'll come for the hashtag. They'll stay for my pussy.
Ah, I like that. Yeah.
That's not true. They won't do that, but that's all right. Yeah. When is this coming out? We don't know.
No, it'll come out like by the weekend, I think. Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're listening to this before SummerSlam, it's the 10-year anniversary of Face Fuck Me Fit and Sign, and I'm doing a special SummerSlam topless watch along both nights. So come join. Fun. And then afterwards, I'm doing a special live fuck show. So if you want to watch me get my guts scrambled on a live show, go to my OnlyFans, Felicia Rose New. And I will be performing after SummerSlam, aka you can tip me to watch me do something naughty.
I love it. I have to show up to one of these things. Although, like, you know, I told you, I'm always afraid that I won't be able to, like, keep my mouth shut. Like, I'm going to be like...
Oh, you know, one of our previous guests showed up recently to the live and tipped to basically see Greek Greg.
Really?
Yeah, like, yeah, I loved that. I was like... That's awesome. And they were super respectful, like, hey, is this cool to ask? I was like, ask first, you know, we'll see what he's down for. And they basically like wanted to see like him fucking me and like his ass and stuff like that. And
nice.
And I was like, sure. Okay. Yeah.
That's so hot. I love it.
It was cool. I was like, I've never had a gay individual come into my live and watch for someone else. Like, that's fun. Yeah. I love that.
Oh, so. Yeah. And I think. Yeah, I'm so excited for our next podcast. We'll have to talk about this bit. Don't let me forget,
yeah,
girl.
I'm yapping a lot. I apologize. So.
Oh, you should yap. I haven't
spoken in days. No, I'm kidding.
I just take dick now. I don't say anything anymore.
All I do is take dick.
That voice. Oh my
I'm
God.
Cave woman. Dick cave woman.
All right. You can chop up the end of... Stupid. Whatever. All right, I love you. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you made it this far,
I love how we always end it like a fucking phone call. Bye. Talk to you later.
It was so good chatting with you. Oh my God, call me back if you need some. Love you.
Love you. All right,
bye.